chapter 1. And if you would please, out of reverence to the Word of God, join me as I read the Word. Let's all stand together as I read the Bible, please. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, of all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I want you to notice the beginning of verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning now, asking you to bless your word. Lord, we know it's absolutely true. We believe it cover to cover. And Lord, what it tells us about you is very needful for us to be reminded of this morning. And so I come simply as your messenger, and I ask that you'd help me, that you would help me to be emptied and cleansed so that I could be filled. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the cross. And I pray, Lord, as the God of all comfort, that you would minister to hearts today. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, use me for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As I reflected yesterday for hours as I was driving home from the Sierras, there were so many things racing through my head. Of course, as I was driving, I didn't have the opportunity to write a lot of things down, and the Lord just kept bringing things up, and I thought, God, if I don't write these down, I'm never going to remember them. I'm not sure what to do. And so I just kept repeating them back to the Lord, and he'd give me a few more thoughts, and I'd repeat them back. And this morning, I got up really to spend time with the Lord, and as he just spoke to my heart, he confirmed some things, and I wrote down a message that I thought he was going to let me preach. And he said, no, that's not the one. I want you to write down another one. And so I wrote down another one. And then I was at a crossroads. Which sermon do I preach? And I thought to myself, well, Lord, are you giving me one for the memorial service? Or are you giving me one for our service? And he said, no, I just wanted to talk to you for a while. You wrote the wrong one down. I want you to talk to the people about this. And so I started writing, started praying and meditating and reading and going back and forth. And the things that I want to share to you today are really just from my heart and I believe from the Lord. I want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement, but I can't. Everything that I could give you is going to be temporal. I can give you my presence. That's only going to last so long. I can give you my opinion. I can give you some kind of tutelage that I've received or counsel from others, and maybe a quote or a cliche or something of that sort, and that's going to be temporal as well. But what God gives us is eternal. What God gives us is the comfort from God. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I realize that there are no mountain peaks without the valley. You can't get to the mountain without going through the valley. I realize as a Christian now for upwards of almost a quarter of a century that there can be no victory without battle. I also understand that there is no peace without struggle. And I also believe with all of my heart that there can be no strength without weakness. Yesterday, as I was driving home and asking the Lord to speak to me as to what to say to Randy and Becky and their dear kids, I was awed by the grace and the mercy of God as we sat with them last night. I was amazed at the grace of God on a family. I was amazed at the moving of God in such quick time to a young family who loved their kids. There is no such thing, I believe, as life throwing you a curveball. You ever heard that statement? Sometimes life can throw you a curveball. I don't believe that. There's no such thing as life throwing you a curveball, because what may be unexpected to you and I is always perfectly planned by the Holy God. Life doesn't throw anything. Life is a gift from God. An accident, they tell me, is an unforeseen and unplanned event or circumstance, an unexpected happening causing loss or injury, which is not due to any fault or misconduct. They tell me that calamity is a state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss. Yesterday afternoon, an accident brought calamity to Randy and Becky's house and to many, many of us in this room who were involved in their life, all of which happened under the watchful eye of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, as one Christian told the aching heart of a mother who lost her 8-year-old little girl in a tragic car accident, and I quote, "If God wanted your little girl to be here on earth, no power on earth or heaven could have taken her away. And if God wanted your little girl in heaven, then no power on earth or in heaven could keep her here." As Christians, we do not claim to have all the answers as to why things happen in life. Rather, we do claim to know the one who does know all the answers, and we trust him with all of our heart. Because leaning on our own understanding is not only limited, it becomes dangerous, not only to us, but to those around us. So God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to walk where we walk, to experience emotion, to face hardship, and to go through a loss like we do, so that he could help us when we do. Seeing then that we have an high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, tempted, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Times of misfortune and times of accident and times of calamity and times of a loss such as these, what people need more than anything is comfort. I want you to notice with me this morning, first of all, in verses 3 and 4, the source of all comfort. Paul, writing of the importance of grace and peace to a church that had been riddled with division and caused all kinds of problems, writes to them of the importance of grace and peace. And then I want you to notice how he immediately directs them. He does not try to give them anything but what God has already given him. And he says in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Could we say that those last four words out loud together? Ready, begin. The God of all comfort. Let's say it together this morning, because he is. Ready? The God of all comfort. You know how he comforts us? First of all, he comforts us in his word. He comforts us through the word of God. Never neglect in the night what God gave you in the light. If the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, then you remember that he knows the way that you take. He knows every step that you take. He knows the very hairs on your head. You are written in the palms of his hands. The Bible says your times are put in his hands, and he knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. And so he writes the word of God to be a comfort. The Bible says in Psalm 94 and verse 19, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Psalm 119:76, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." God's word is written so that you would never question his character or doubt his promises, but he offers so much more than just words. He also comforts us with his presence. It's not just about empty words. It's not about, I loathe when I hear a lost and dying world saying these things. Our thoughts are with you. It would be better if they knew the God of heaven and say, our prayers are with you. Why? Because thoughts don't comfort. I think about people all the time. They don't know that I'm thinking about them. How can they be comforted? But the God of all comfort can do some things. He comforts us not just with empty words. He comforts us with his presence. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Neither be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God gives us a caution and says, listen, you may be going through a dark time, but don't fear. Don't doubt. I am with you. You're not in a minority with God. You're in the majority with God. Amen. God says, I'm giving you more than just my words. I'm giving you the living word of God. His name is Jesus, and I'm giving you me for all of eternity. When I am born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the amazing grace of God, God inhabits me by the Holy Spirit, and wherever I go, he goes. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. He gives us much more than that. He said in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The promise of God in Hebrews 13, 5 is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I will tell you, there's a couple in South San Jose tonight or this morning that is remembering that God is with them. And I sent them verses last night, and I sent them a devotional and verses today, and I just wanted them to know that we love them and we're praying for them. And after he read the word of God, he said, Pastor, that helped. His word, his presence. You see, ladies and gentlemen, safety consists not in the absence of danger or problem or circumstance, but rather in the presence of God. God says, that's why this world is only going to give you tribulation, but I want you to be of good cheer. I've overcome that world, and the peace that I'm giving you, I want to leave with you forever. And that's me. The world cannot give you what only Jesus can. And God gave it all. The Bible declares that our God in heaven is the source of all comfort. But I want you to notice, secondly, the scope of all comfort. The Bible says at the end of verse 3, and the God of all comfort, and it doesn't stop. Notice at the beginning of verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation? All our tribulation. You know, I think I said it even last week, the word all, whether it's in any language all over the world or even in Bible language, still means all. It means that if there is nothing that falls away from God's watchful eye, then there is nothing that is greater than God's all-sufficient grace. That he knows all of our tribulation. There is not anything that can happen to us that God doesn't understand or allow. And if that's the case, then we know that his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, Jesus speaking, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I want you to understand, we're speaking of the scope of God's comfort. Paul then, and we do not know, simply separated by a period. We don't know how long he contemplated. We don't know how far he went back in his past. We don't know how far he was in detail of his circumstances. But this is how he concludes. Since Jesus told me that, since I know that I'm not by myself, since I know that I have his words, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And here's the list. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And then he gets another category in reproaches, in necessities and persecutions. Oh, yes, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It matters not what may be the cause of the pain or the sorrow. God's grace is the enabling power that makes the difference for the child of God. For there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. That word able is the power. That word means power. I have got the power of God, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In fact, grace is so important to the child of God. Paul mentioned it 91 times to the letter in his letters to all the Christians. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And then he said, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Listen carefully tonight, or this morning. God knows the need of every troubled heart. Everyone. And the great thing about it is that our God has grace sufficient for every troubled heart. And he is there with grace and strength for anyone who will come to him. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't make sense to the world. So you don't just come to Jesus without knowing Jesus. You don't just come and say, okay, God, give me. No, you have to come to him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I've got to learn of him as my Savior first. And then I can know him as my Lord. We see the source of all comfort, the scope of all comfort. I want you to see, thirdly, the service of all comfort. Now, when God inspired the Apostle Paul to write this to a church, it was to not only help them to recover from sin that was in the church, but it was also to help them get their eyes off of themselves. The Bible says here at the end of verse 3, and the God of all comfort, and notice in verse 4 now, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, notice here's the service, that ye may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul says, okay, here's the deal. God doesn't comfort you, listen, for your sakes. This kept hitting me in the forehead all morning from 5 o'clock until I came here. It's not about me, and it's not about you. In trouble, it's about God. And though it hurts, and though we want to be comforted, and though I love that baby girl, and though I love the Sorrentinos, it's not about me, and I don't want to make it about me. I want to make it about God's grace. But in order to give it away, I've got to get it myself. Paul said, look, there's going to be someone in your life that's going to need that grace. So yes, God's going to comfort you right now, but there's a longer purpose. There's a pursuit that's far beyond you. I want you to see that I see all things from beginning to end, because I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and there's a greater need out there than just what you're going through right now. And I would say this, that anybody that has ever experienced the grace of God in this church, you owe it to the cross of Calvary to show that same grace to Randy and Becky Sorrentino. Because you've experienced something that they need. The Bible says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Do you know why God wants you to experience his presence and grace and strength so that you can comfort others? The entire word of God is God comforting people so that they can comfort people. Peter, Paul, John all ministered to people who suffered after they suffered themselves. They gave grace away. Their labor was not in vain. They didn't frustrate the grace of God. It wasn't about them. It was about a greater need. It's the kingdom of God. And if the body of Christ hurts, then the rest of the body has to go to help. Elijah was comforted by God, so he comforted the widow at Zarephath. Elisha experienced God's strength, so he strengthened the mother who lost her child. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. As Christians, the only real comfort we can offer is that which we have received from God ourselves. So how do we offer it? Let me suggest three ways. First of all, we offer his word through faith. The greatest way you and I could ever help another believer, a believer, is by telling them that God loves them and believe it. By telling them things like, God is faithful, and believe it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's by telling them the comforts of God, by telling them the goodness of God, by telling them of the presence of God, and that his strength is there for them. Secondly, we don't only offer his word through faith, but we also offer his strength by experience. Many of you in here could say this statement with confidence. I remember a dark day when Jesus came to me and he helped me. And I know right now he's here to help you. Many of you could claim that as your own. You can go back to a time when it was dark and scary. As I spoke to a family yesterday, I saw clouds of darkness. I did. I watched them grieve, and I told them, you need to grieve. You need to weep, and you need to sorrow, and I was crying right along with them. But through it all, do you know what I saw? I saw two people and a mother. I saw them not looking at the dark clouds. I saw them looking at the edge of the storm and the light that was there. And that light is Christ. They were, though in the middle of the dark clouds, they were seeing the light of the Son of God at the end. If you've ever been in the Midwest in one of those big storms, you see it's just a big sheet of black, and you may be in the blackness for a while, but sooner than later, it begins to be a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter, and then all of a sudden, you're out of the storm. And that's what they're looking to right now. You have been through that storm. You've seen the light at the end, and you can offer that strength by way of experience. Thirdly, we offer his grace by practice. Only a loving church family can become the arms of the Lord Jesus that wraps the love of God around one of their own. We are still physical beings. And because they are the body of Christ, they need the hands of God. If we're the feet and the mouthpiece, why not hands? Why not have an opportunity by grace to say, I want to help. How can I help, Pastor? As I get my spiritual hands around this situation with them, and as I try to be a help, we need a list of people who are willing to help. We don't know when, we don't know where exactly yet. But we want to provide some meals for their families. We want to be gracious to them because tomorrow it may be us. And you certainly would love to have someone put their arms around you. As much as you have done this to the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me, Jesus said. I want to encourage you to help this family. By grace. Only a loving church family can do that. By the way, they're going to need all of us to give a meal, offer more than just a prayer. They're going to need us to send a card, to give a hug, because they're hurt. That's grace. If you've ever gotten a card, if you've ever gotten a phone call, if you've ever gotten a meal, if you've ever experienced the grace of God through somebody else, then you know exactly what God's called us to do. Our God is the source of all comfort. How many would agree with me? Say amen. Amen. How many agree with the scope of all comfort is, no matter what we're going through in all or any tribulation, it's still God. Amen? Amen. How many understand that there is a service of all comfort, and that comes by the body of Christ? How many agree with that? This is our responsibility. But I want to give you the best part of this whole story. The best part of this passage, number 4, I believe, is the Savior of all comfort. In verse 5, there's a verses 5 and 6, there's a word used twice, and it's the word consolation. I want you to see it. The Bible says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by whom? Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation." That's three times. "And salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast." Now watch. Their hope of them is steadfast, not because of them, but because of Christ. He reiterates it three times. The word used for consolation there is the same word that we get our word, Holy Spirit. Parakaleo is the word of somebody that comes alongside. Now, how are you possibly to be encouraged by death? How is that even possible? That in such suffering and such loss and such mourning and such sorrow that you could find encouragement by death? I will declare to you today, because that enemy, death, and all of its allies have already been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. For every sinner who has ever been rescued by the Savior, we know that his death was not final. Instead, it was the full payment of our sin. And then 3 days later, he rose the victor from the dark domain. By the way, he lives forever with his saints to reign, according to the song that we sing. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? We have a new hope. That means that Audrey has a new hope. That means that Randy and Becky have a new hope. That means that there's somebody else now waiting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get there, we shall not only be like him, but we're going to see all of them together. I said to Randy and Becky last night, I think I was praying maybe. The fact is, those big baby blue eyes will be waiting for her mom and daddy. And that's a joy. The fact of the matter is, God was gracious, and in their own words, to give them Audrey Joy for 2.5 years. 2.5 years more than if they had never had her. 2.5 years more of joy. 2.5 years more of memories. And now they're going to find consolation in Christ because Jesus was the first to be resurrected. See, how am I supposed to be encouraged by that? Because Jesus suffered loss once, and he wept bitterly. And when he came, there was so much doubt about what could be done, and he kind of marveled that the two people whom he had had a close relationship with didn't really understand. And Lord, if you'd have just been here, had you done things the way we had planned it, things would have come out differently. If you'd have just been here, if you'd have just been here. And Jesus looked at them and said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. And then I would pose a question to you this morning, as Jesus did to all those doubters, to all those people that may not have known him in his presence. You know what he said? Believest thou this? You've watched me, you've heard about me, but do you really believe it? Because what he was about to do was a miracle. And what they need and what this church needs right now is that miracle. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that God is the God of all comfort? Or do you try to find comfort and consolation in something else? Or in someone else? You know, the world, lost people try to find their consolation in their position at work. How much money they have, or how they're shaking and jiving and doing all this stuff for people, for what? What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his own soul? I would tell you today that there is no other source of comfort, because this book tells me that God is the God of all comfort. So I would ask you this morning, do you have the consolation in Christ that one day you will be in heaven for sure? Or do you know? And if you do, then you have a source of all comfort that is beyond what this world could ever give you. And once you've gained it, let's give it away. Do not be worn out by the labors which you have undertaken for my sake. Do not let tribulations ever cast you down. Instead, let my promise strengthen and comfort you under every circumstance. I am well able to reward you above all measure and degree. You shall not toil here long, nor always be oppressed with griefs. A time will come when all labor and trouble will cease. Labor faithfully, then, in my vineyard, and I will be thy recompense. Life everlasting is worth all these conflict, and greater than these. Are not all plentiful labors to be endured for the sake of life eternal? Lift your face, therefore, to heaven. Behold, I and all my saints with me, who in this world had great conflicts, are now comforted, are now rejoicing, are now secure, are now at rest, and shall remain with me everlastingly in the kingdom of my Father. Father, we know not what to do many times or even what to say, but we are grateful that you do. So we come to you this morning and we cling. We ask for help. We ask, Lord, for that peace in this storm. We ask for your wisdom for this way. We plead the blood of Christ because it is our only plea. And I pray for here this morning, the one that will stand before the bar of God, not having that blood on their behalf. I pray that if there's a sinner that has not been rescued by faith alone, and they have a doubt of their salvation, I pray today they would be it would be settled. Because, Lord, we're not promised tomorrow. And I pray today they would be saved. I know greater than any other good that this has happened so that others would be saved. I know that this has happened so that sinners who have been saved would get right and have revival. God, so that we could not only gain grace from you, but that we could minister it to others. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would comfort hearts here today. And I pray that you would move us to pray. Help us to be grateful. Help us, Lord, to have great faith. Strengthen us where we're weak. Encourage us and uphold us where we've fallen in our faith. And I pray that you'd be glorified. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to have Miss Ayon play, if you will, just a verse or two of an invitation. I'm just going to have her play there. Would you pray this morning? First of all, would you pray this? I had the men pray this up at the men and boys camp out. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you pray this back to God? Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Only God, when he speaks, can sober us. And when he does, we would do well to say, okay, Lord, if I'm going to be a blessing, I've got to make sure, if I'm going to be a vessel of grace, I've got to be a clean one. And then I wonder this morning, perhaps if you're a mom and a daddy, you could just say, God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for life. Thank you for my spouse today. One of the greatest heart actions that we can have or attitudes is gratitude. It keeps us close to God. It could have been us. It might still be us. So the minutes that you have, cherish and steward them wisely. You could probably talk to some people in this room who regret. They regret a misstewardship of a life, of a love, of a time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's not regret. Let's continue by grace and faith. Maybe you'd be here and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. If I died right now, I am not 100% sure I'd be in heaven. My life does not bear witness with the Holy Spirit of God. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me today? If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. What I thought I had was salvation, but my life is no different from the lost people around me. It does not bear evidence. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that at all? Anybody? Christian, would you commit to pray for the Sorrentinos? Then would you commit to pray for this church? God wants to be glorified. People need to be saved through tragedy. He wants to use us to do it. So let's give ourselves to Him this morning. With nobody looking, how many would say, Pastor, if I can be a help or a blessing to the Sorrentinos or this church in any way, shape, or form, here is my offering. I'm saying, call me, text me. I want to be a help and a blessing. How many would say that? Just lift your hand real quick. Every hand, you can put your hands down. Now let's commit to that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to be a help. Comfort us, Lord, so that we can comfort others. I again beg of you, please comfort the Sorrentinos today. Please heal hearts. Lord, where the hole is, I pray that you would fill it. And God, help us to remember that you are great and mighty as the Lord our God. And I pray that you'd be exalted above all things. Be with us, dismiss us by your grace and strength, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to dismiss and...